Friday the 25th of April, Rabbi Gabi Krushko, a halachic discourse on Parshas Kedoshim.
Good morning, everyone. My last trip to London a year ago, and I came to visit the fairway. It's been a great change, I see. This last time, a beautiful change. Beautiful on our Kedosh. Besides looking so grand and regal, somehow when you come inside, it looks, the design makes the place look larger. Very nice. This is especially beautiful for me. We moved recently to Ramot in Yerushalayim. We joined Gimel. We joined a killer there called Zichron Avraham. Beautiful killer, 400 Bnei Torah. They managed to get together to build this large structure, but it remains still a skeleton, a structure, barren inside. You know, the beautiful to be in a well-decorated Beis HaMedrash. Plenty of dedication material there available. So, I want to discuss some halachas of Parshas Boira, some halachas of Boira on Shabbos. And to explain the choice, we will go and bring a short message from this week's Parshas Kedoshim. An underlying theme which will connect the message of the halachas which we will be discussing. This Parsha starts off with the first mitzvah in the Parsha Kedoshim, Tiyu. Become holy. How do you become holy? How does you become holy? By the correct sort of uniform, correct Hashem. How do you become holy? Kedoshim Tiyu. Machlokes Rishonim is two approaches in the Rishonim of the Mefarshei HaTorah. Rashi explains Kedoshim Tiyu. Be porosh from arayos, keep away from immoral acts, the list, then the Parsha Akrimus. The Ramban says another approach. Kedoshim Tiyu, you should not be a manuvel b'shus HaTorah. What does that mean? Literally translated, you should be a manuvel, a glutton, act disgusting within the confines of the legal laws of the Torah. That means the Torah wants you to act with the spirit of the Torah and not just with the legal confines of the Torah. What would be an example? Example would be, for example, sushi is all good, delicious, for those who like it. Kosher, if you make sure you have insect-free seaweed, etc. It's all good. But if you have sushi 3 times a day, every day, that's not within the spirit of the Torah. Hashem doesn't, just because it's kosher, it doesn't mean it's yosha, right? It doesn't mean it's within the spirit of the Torah. Don't be a manuvel, but shus Torah. So seemingly, these two approaches in Kedoshim Tiyu, become holy. Rashi says, keep away from aroy, see more relax. The Ramban says, don't be a manuvel, but shus Torah. Seem to be two opposite ends of the spectrum. One is saying, Rashi is saying, don't be a bad person. Don't do immoral acts. Whereas Ramban seems to be saying, don't be an average bloke. Don't do anything wrong. Rather, become a better person. Strive for growth. How do we reconcile these two opposite approaches to the same word? So what I would like to begin with is just to demonstrate that, in essence, these two approaches are really one. The Gemara in Shabbos already asked the Kasha. The Pasuk describes our Yetzer Hara as Lo Yeh Becha Elzah. Elzah, a foreign god. The question is, foreign god Elzah normally refers to, the very fact we could say El, means it's not referring to Hashem, it refers to Avodah Zarah. Why do we refer to the Yetzer Hara as Avodah Zarah? You know, Avodah Zarah, only if a person converts to Hinduism or becomes a Buddhist, is he affected by the Yetzer Hara? It doesn't affect average Yid? Of course it does. Why does the Torah refer to the Yetzer Hara as Elzah? And the Gemara answers, do you know why? Because Hayoimai Balakhasikach, Mokhaimai Balakhasikach, until a person will descend a slippery slope. A person who's not in the mindset of combating his Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara will be Elzah, because it's a slippery slope. A person will start off with this little thing, and this little thing, until eventually everything, the other Gemara Numa says, Echter Vashav Echter, Achenas Lehetha, till it comes in his eyes as permitted. So, the idea, which we want to say as well, how these two pshatim are in essence one pshat. We know a person is compromised of two parts. There's the physical, beastal part of a person, his body, and there's a godly spirit, the neshama, the chelik and the kamimal. A person is combined with these conflicting forces. And these two conflicting forces always battle with each other. This is a constant battle which the Mesis Rishonim describes. Man is always found within this constant battle between these two powers. Which one will triumph? In fact, all our triumphs and defeats in our life are basically are based upon this. Which one of these directions will we sway in? Will our chomrius, our guf, be the overpower us? Will we be swayed? Or will the neshama, the chelik of the kamimal, win? That's all our defeats or our gains in life. Now, this battle is the epic part of this battle. It's in the place where the union of the guf and the neshama combine. Where is the point of unification between the guf, the body, and the neshama? In life itself. Life bonds the two together. What is the source of life? Food. Food. In the process of eating, that is the epic battle, the constant daily battle which a person is having between his guf and his neshama is in eating. You know, we all wonder, the biggest story an Adam Rishon had was food to eat. He could have had something more subtle like whether to carry an Erev. So why food? Why? The answer is because food is really the source of all battles. It's the part of the neshama and the guf. That is really the battle. That's why lechem is the same letters as lechem. Lechem and lechem, a person is constantly battling this. In fact, we find in the Torah by Yosef, the word lechem is referred to as aroyus, when he refers to Potiphar's wife. That means lechem is a case of, and that's why we find the Torah places so many safety guards around eating. Don't eat straight away. You know, of course, there's machalas asurus, keep away from. But beyond that, there's so many safety guards. First, you've got to shech the animal, no even menachai, don't eat immediately. First, you've got to salt it, hold off, take chumas maestras. Allah, wait a few years. Even when it's all kosher and ready, make a bracha first. I mean, it's not from the eye to the gut. The Torah is saying, you want to win all the battles, start with the source, the foundation of the battles, the lechem, where the point of communication. So in essence, the two approaches which we had in Kedoshim Tiyu may be one. Rashi says, keep away from Aroyas. Have a prushim in Aroyas. How to become holy? Keep away from the worst acts. The Ramban said, Kedoshim Tiyu, don't be manovel b'shus ha-Torah. Don't have every single day lax and smoked salmon rolls for breakfast and for supper. What's in essence the connection between those two? The answer is because if you don't start with Rashi Pshat, you could end up with the Ramban Pshat, the really one. And this, just before we get onto the Hilchos Poira, if you don't start with Ramban Pshat, you get onto Rashi Pshat. And just this continues in the next pasuk. The pasuk says, Ish imoy baviv tiro, a person, the mitzvah of Yiras Aveim, you should fear your parents, ve'es shavsoi saite shmoiru, and keep my Shabbos. About to discuss the Hilchos Shabbos. The question is, why does the Torah not give each pasuk their own right? Each one's a separate halacha. There's enough pasuk in the Torah. Ishim of Torah should be one halacha. Eshav Soy Sayt Tishmoyru should be a separate pasuk. So Rashi already explains the reason why the Torah places these two together. I have to tell you that there's a limit on Kibbutz Aveim. Kibbutz Aveim only applies as long as it doesn't contradict Eshav Soy Sayt Tishmoyru Hashem's command. What's the idea of this message again? The idea is, again, you know, people think that it's logical. Kibbutz Aveim is logical. It used to be at least logical. You'd cross the Torah to one's parents. However, we see in Aseret Dibros there's five Bein Adam L'Mokoyim, five Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. And the Kibbutz Aveim is on the side of Bein Adam L'Mokoyim. It's not Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Kibbutz Aveim is only a tool. It's a tool in order to train a person to have Akaras HaTov. That's what Kibbutz Aveim is for. One has Akaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one to one's parents, one has Akaras HaTov to one's spouse, one has Akaras HaTov, one's trained to appreciate the nuances and have Akaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. So once you're losing sight of the goal, once there's a contradiction between Kibbutz Aveim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no point in it. The whole point is in order to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the point of food and pleasures in this life? The point is to come closer to Hashem. Are all pleasures in this world created for a person who's not Hashem Torah Mitzvahs? Like Baruch HaOlam Melech Voidah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for the tzaddik. How can you come closer to Hashem by having delicious foods? The answer is, you have gratitude. Look at how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a vast array of tastes, such a beautiful display of sights and smells. All that once we realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us so much good, we want to return and across the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tachlis of eating, of food, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to give a person strength, to improve his attitude. He should be in a happier mood. Like it says by Yitzhak Avinu, Aseli matamim kashal chalti ba'avot v'rachani nashi, make me delicious food, I shall bless you. As Ramban says of there, Ein ashkinash toyer elimitev simcha, to improve a person's moods, his attitudes, he shall be friendly to his surroundings, make everyone else happy. So we see over here the underlying current theme between the first two mitzvahs of Parshas Kedoshim. You have the mitzvah of eating, of having pleasures, you have a mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim, but as long as they're done within the spirit, with the intention, with the goal, which the Torah prescribes, you're tzaddik, you're kodosh, kodoshim tiyu. You're doing the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim. Once the same act is going to be done without without the goal, the lofty goal the Torah prescribes, they're no longer mitzvahs. So, I want to demonstrate, Be'ez Hashem, share with you three, we'll see how much time is, specific examples in Hilchos Torah, on Shabbos, where the same act two people will be doing, and the same intention, one person will be a mitzvah, and one person will be a avera, it will be a chayav katos, and the difference will be in the subtlety of his intention. And in order to understand that, we will have to go through some lomdas of Hilchos Torah, and we'll be able to understand the difference between these three examples. Boira is a very good choice. In a sense, Boira really means we'll learn, it means to choose. In the sense that Boira is something which we're doing constantly. We spoke about our whole life is full of choices. We're constantly choosing. The whole day Shabbos we're choosing. Starting off like, what will I learn Friday night? Which tie will I wear? Which clothes will I choose? Which food will I eat? We're always choosing. So a person who's not, hasn't got mastery of Hilchos Boira, is olul, is susceptible, is chashan, to fall in Hilchos Boira constantly. Whereas if one has a mastery of it, one can always do everything in a correct fashion. The three examples which we want to discuss are the following. Let's call them Yanke and Moishi, two people. They both have a bowl of chicken soup with lokshen. They both don't like their lokshen. Yanke's taking out his lokshen. He can still sing Yom Shavos and Nishkoyach, he's doing a mitzvah. And Moishi's taking out his lokshen. And he's Chayav HaKatos. For him it would be better to sing Mashenu Meshavachas. Chayav HaKatos. The same action. Both people don't like the lokshen. One is doing a mitzvah, one is doing a vera. That's the first example. The second example which we want to discuss is you got the classical case of a piece of salmon with some bones. You know, filled fish was invented for cholesterol in order to prevent Hilchos Boira. You don't have any bones inside it. Oh, you got bones of fish, and one person is taking out the bones from the fish, and he is doing Boira. Another person is taking out the bones from the fish, doing mitzvah. Taking the bones from the fish, one person is doing a mitzvah, one person is doing a Boira. Two same examples. You could change this example to the watermelon seeds. One person taking out the black seeds from the watermelon is doing Boira, one person's not. And a final example which we want to discuss is, you know, someone once learned in school many years ago that if you take out the psoiles, if you take out the garbage with some oichel, you got some carrots or some floating around your soup, and your kids don't like it, you know, the kids like perfectly clear soup, as long as they can see it. If you cover it with croutons, they're happy to have a soup. So you want to take out the carrots from the soup. So you take some soup with it. You have two people who are taking some oichel together with the psoiles. Some soup with the carrots. One person is fine, not doing any problem. Another person is doing exactly the same situation, he's doing Boira. Those are three examples we would like to discuss. In order to understand this, we're going to give a brief overview of certain aspects of Boira, which will be relevant to this. We're going to discuss the lomdos of one or two svaros, then we'll apply to these three cases, and we'll see. The same act can be done, the intention can play the role if it's chayv or mutter. Boira, where did it take place in the Mishkan? So just to remind ourselves, in the old days, bread didn't come from a shop. They used to sow the field, plow the field, grow the wheat. The wheat was grown, they reaped it. Now you have this wheat. How do you transfer this beautiful plant into a piece of bread? So they had to thresh. They had to take the wheat and remove from the husk, from the shell, the germ, piece of wheat. How do they do that? They threshed it, they crushed it. Okay, now on the farmyard, there's full of pieces of straw and germs of wheat and stone. How on earth are you going to literally take out all this hay, the needle from the haystack? How will you take out the wheat? So the first process was separating through winnowing. What's winnowing? They took a pitchfork and they threw up the whole thing there, and the light hay fluttered away, blew away in the Gulf Stream, and the heavy wheat fell back down. But you still haven't solved your problem. Now you've got a mixture of wheat and stones mixed together. If you're going to make a piece of bread like this, Yom Mitzrayim, it could be a fatal mistake, right? Have some stones in your bread. How are you going to be able to take out all the wheat from, separate them from the stones? How are you going to do that? So the way is you have to do Boira. You have to take out the stones. You have to take out the stones. You've got a mixture of oichel and psoiles. You've got a mixture of wheat and stones. Stuff I want, items I want, and items I don't want. If you take out the stones, you remove the psoiles, that is the act of Boira. That's what you're chayv on. Obviously, a primary condition is the environment for Boira is the environment of a confusion, the taroivus. That's a state of confusion. If you have in your cupboard a bowl of cereal, a box of cereal and some bowls next to it, there's no problem to take out either one you want, the one you don't want for later on. There's no problem because we don't view them as confused. We don't view them as as sorting out, because they were never mixed together to start off with. Only when something is mixed together and it's a state of confusion, the Melacha Boer is sorting out this state of confusion. You got stones and wheat. By sorting out the wheat from the stones, the state of confusion, that is the Melacha Boer. There's various examples, as Rabbi Vidal says, of what state of confusion. It could be intermingled, it could be attached, as we see peel, it could be something submerged, as we see sediments and soup. There's various cases of how you Tarevus Rishayim go through various cases. It's learned from Issa Veheta, various examples how things could be in state of confusion. But the primary condition for Boira to be forbidden is it has to be the environment of a Tarevus of a mixture. Boira is separating the mixture. Now, the Gemara says that if you fulfill three criteria, three conditions, you're allowed to do boira. The three conditions are ayol, aleph, yud, lamud. Oichel, aleph, yud, yad, your hand, lamud, la'alta. Just to briefly explain what all three are. Aleph is oichel, you're taking, you got, let's say a person has his salad, Shabbos day, he goes to the house, he sees a beautiful salad with nuts and mango. He's having this for the main course. And he likes his fruit salad for dessert. He doesn't like it for the main course. So he wants to take out the mangoes and the nuts, and he wants to keep the salad. So he doesn't like the mangoes and the nuts. What does he want? He wants the salad. If you're taking out the oichel means the items you want. You're taking out the salad. If you fulfill all three conditions, you're taking out the salad, and you're taking it with your hand, yad, and the altar, you're taking it to eat the salad immediately, that's permitted. But if you would take out what he doesn't like, you take out the mangoes and the nuts, or if you'd use some sort of instrument to have to separate, you're like, Only the big piece of salad will stay up and all the mangoes and nuts will get trapped inside. Or if he's separating it for later on, that's forbidden. You need all three conditions, oichel, yad, and la'alta. How on earth do these three conditions solve the problem of boira? The Torah says boira is forbidden. Just as I'm doing for immediate usage, it's permitted. Are you allowed to cook on Shabbos to eat immediately? Since when is that a heta and hilchos Shabbos? Machloikas Rishonim. What the Yisoid is. Rashi explains that these are shinuyim. These are great differences. That means normally it's forbidden only to do a melacha in its normal fashion. If you're doing it b'shinuy, if you're doing it in an abnormal fashion, that's not forbidden. Normally it's still going to be forbidden with Rabbanon. But in these circumstances, for whatever reason, it's not discussion now, these shinuyim are considered a grand shinuy and some permitted. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, the reason why these three permit boira, and after this introduction we can get to the three examples, the reason why it's permitted is because these are considered derech achila, the way of eating. That means when the Torah forbids a person to do, what the Torah forbids a person to do is a malacha. You can't do a malacha. But derech achila, if it's the way of eating, hasn't got the shame malacha, it's not considered malacha and it's permitted. If you're fulfilling these three conditions, that's considered derech achila. Why? How do you eat? You take the food, the stuff you want. You don't take the stuff you don't want. You take the stuff you want. You take it for immediate usage, that's considered eating, and you eat with your hands. No, not literally. Maish already explains that hands doesn't mean literally hand. Hand can also be a yada rifta, a fork. But basically, you're not using a kenwood mixer whilst you're eating. You're not eating with an apparatus, with some sort of sorting instrument. Okay. So, that's the three conditions. The obvious difference between these two approaches, according to Rashi, one of them is enough. If you any one of these are shinuyim, you do any one of these three, it's enough. We pass like Rabbi Chal, they need all three conditions, because if you, let's say you'd be taking out the lettuce which you want, it's derech achila, but you're taking it for later on, that's not the way you eat immediately. So you need all three conditions to be able to make it fulfill, be considered derech achila. So now let us return to the three examples which we gave, and we're going to, we can start off already with the first one. The first example we gave was, there were two people who had soup with lakshon. And one of them, both didn't like the lakshon. So can you take out the lakshon from the soup? No. Because you're taking the psoitis, you're taking an item you don't want. That is not derech achila. You have to take the item which you do want. And for one person it's permitted, and for one person it's not permitted. The answer is, this is really quite the most straightforward of all them. One of them is taking out the lakshon for someone else who likes it. So his action, even though he doesn't like it, he's taking, oichel doesn't mean you have to take for yourself. Oichel means you can also take what someone else likes. So he's taking out the lakshon for someone else. So for that other person, the act he's doing is considered a derech achila. He's taking out the lakshon for someone else. My son used to do it to me the whole time. Shabbos day, we have egg and onion. And he's taking out the onions and put it on my plate. I say, boira. My son said, Tati, you like the onions, I'll give you the onions. So that is the first example of boira, which is permitted. The reason both people are doing the same act, they're taking out the psoilas, the item which they don't like, for one person it's a mitzvah, because he's really helping someone else who likes the noodles, the lakshon. The other person is doing an act of boira. Rachmanos is chayvechatos. Why is it chayvechatos? The thing the psoilas doesn't like. The second example, which will be slightly deeper, and the third example will be the crux. The second example is, we said that a person has salmon with bones, and he's taking out the bones from the fish. That certainly shall be forbidden. Bones, no one likes. You can't claim I'm giving the bones, you know, to my friend, the fish bones, he likes them, I'm taking out for him. No one likes bones. If it's the chicken bones, different story. If it's the fish bone, no one likes it. So therefore, how can it be permitted for another person? There's a big kasha. There's a fruit shalach in the end of Shin Chaf Aleph. You're allowed to peel fruit on Shabbos. You're allowed to shell an egg. We all do it, crack nuts. How can you do that? When you're peeling an egg, you're taking the psoitis from oichel. You don't fulfill all three conditions. Big question. Various approaches and the Shoyim Machreim have to answer that. The answer, one of the answers the B'Alocha gives in the end of Shin Chaf Aleph is the following explanation. This is not an exception to the rule. The reason why you'll have to shell your egg on Shabbos, even though you're removing the psoilas, if you understood the longest, the principle behind the heter of all three conditions, you're fulfilling it. What was the reason why you couldn't take the psoilas? Because he said that's not the way of eating. The heter is because it's derech achila. If you're going to take out the stuff you don't want, that's not the way of eating. However, if it's EF Shabininati, if the only way to get to your food is by removing the psoilas, the only way to get to your egg is by removing the shell, that's the way you eat. It's only when you have two items next to each other, you've got a choice in front of you, you've got psoilas and oichel, you've got something I don't want and something I do want, I have the nuts in the salad, and I choose the nuts, that's not the way of eating, you eat what you want. But the only way to get the salad is the nuts all surrounding it, that is the only way to get to it, that itself is derech achila. So over here, it's not really an exception to the rule. The reason why you could take the psoilas when you're shelling an egg is because this is the same principle, this is derech achila, this is the way you eat it. So, says Rav Moshe, if you're giving salmon to a little child, and the only way, there's no way they could eat the salmon with the bones without choking. The only way is if you remove the bones for them. It's so for them, it's going to be permitted to take out the bones, because it's not considered taking out of soilus, it's yeshabininache. For an adult, it's taking out where you could eat remove the fish from the bone, it's forbidden. The same example by the avatiach. You've got your watermelon with black seeds inside. So there's two ways out to eat it. Really, you could take avatiach and spit out the seeds. You walk around Eretz Yisrael, that seems to be the more preferred option. The famous Rebbe Chaim Shalevitz, you know, he asked the kasha on the mom. He says, the chan is a dog, or they remembered the avatiach. In Mitzrayim, the question is, the mom tasted, the Horon Yuma says, the mom tasted of any food he wanted. So why were they so bothered? The fact they didn't have avatiach, they could just think avatiach, and there he went. The answer is, because part of the pleasure of avatiach is not the taste, it's spitting out the pips. Amon, you couldn't do that. So how can we have two people, so you can't take out the pips from the avatiach? You can't take them out. That is taking out the psoilas from oichel. How can you have a person who could take it out and it's fine? The answer is, if for him it's impossible to spit out. You know, he's well-educated Englishman, he's not very used to spitting out. I tried for years taking these little, you know, sunflower seeds, raisin, spitting out, it gets stuck in your teeth and everything. If you aren't trained how to do it, you can't do it, so therefore it's an yeshabinache, so then you'll be able to take out the pips beforehand. That's the second example. The final example, which was, so basically we gave two examples about how you could do the same act, and your intention can make it mutter or asa. The final example, slightly more longish, hope there'll be time to finish it, which is, you have a bowl of soup, there's some sediment inside, obviously, and you don't want the sediment, your kid's got x-ray vision, any little speck, you never saw it, you never thought it was there, he sees it, he's not going to have the soup. You want to take out, you can't take out the sediment by itself, so what are you going to do? You want to take out some soup with it. What will it help taking out soup with it? You're not taking out the psoilus, you're taking out oichel as well. We're going to discuss it in a second why that should be fine. So two people taking out some soup with a sediment, one person is fine, one person is over a chaybatatos, why? So there's a big question on Hilchos Torah. There's a principle in Hilchos Shabbos that all the melachos have to be like in a Mishkan, meleches machsheves. You have to do it with a machsheves, with a correct intention. If you're doing a melacha she'enet tzricha l'gufa, you're doing a melacha which is not for the a different intention than it took place in the Mishkan. For example, you're digging a hole. In the Mishkan, they dug the hole to have the hole. Let's say you don't want the hole, you just want the earth. Okay? Haitzah, carrying out of your private domain to the Rishus Rabim. If you don't want to bring something to the Rishus Rabim, rather you just have a mace, if there's a dead body in the house, you don't want it to smell or to cause tumor. It's taking out, not because you want to carry to the Rishus Rabim, just so you don't want to hear. You're doing it for different, you're substituting a different purpose than took place in the Mishkan. That's considered melacha, she'ain and strictly good, they don't need it for the same purpose. So the machlekes, tanoim, rishonim, The Gaon holds a halacha, you're not chayiv. It's not melech l'shevis. You have to do a melech of the, for, you have to want what you're taking out. You have to want the whole. You have to want the itzar. The question arises by boira. Why are you ever chayiv on boira? You're taking out the stones from the wheat? You don't want the stones. Every boira should be a melech l'shevis l'chayiv. You don't want the stones. Big question. The Rishonim will deal with it. Just two approaches. Rashi says, the subtle differences, but Rashi and Tosafot say that since in the Mishkan, that's how boira took place, even though it's a melech l'shevis l'chayiv, you will be chayiv. And the Ramban says the following answer, that any melacha which the gufa melacha comprises of two parts, which for example, the example which they gave, which they're discussing, when you're shearing wool from a sheep, you want the wool, so you're chayiv, you want the wool. What happens if you're cutting your nails or your hair? So unless you're in some Hindu temple, you don't really want the hair, you're throwing it away, you're cutting your nails. So you shouldn't be chayiv on Shabbos for goyzes, for taking off your nails. Says Ramban, the Ramban holds you archive. Why? Because goizus, he says, comprises of two parts. You're taking the nail, and you're also making the body look beautiful. So if you want any of those two, he considers that a melacha tzricha gufa. And therefore he holds you'll be chayiv on cutting your nails and cutting your hair. Similarly by boira, when you're taking the stuff you don't want from the mixture, even though you don't want that, you're sorting out the rest of the mixture, you're making being miyapah the taruvus, and therefore, since you want that, it's considered melacha tzricha gufa. Those are the two approaches why you're chayiv on boira. Rashi says because even though you don't want it, you will be chayiv. In this example, you will be chayiv. Whereas the Ramban says because you want to be miyapet tarovus, you want to cleanse the whole mixture. There's three differences between Rashi and between the Ramban, and this will explain us our third point. The first difference is what happens if you have a whole mixture of stones of wheat and you took out one stone. According to Ramban, you're never going to be chayiv. Why? Because you took the item you didn't want and you never cleansed anything. You're only chayiv if you cleanse the tarovus. Whereas going to Rashi, you are chayiv. Straightforward. Rashi's machmeh. Example where the Ramban will be machmeh will be, what happens if you took out some, you have a fly floating in your glass of wine. The famous Haman example. Haman told Ahasuerus, you touch the wine, no one's going to drink it. A fly's floating in the glass of wine, they'll take out the fly with the, take out the fly from the wine. Let's say you take out the fly, it's floating on top of your glass with some wine. The halacha is, according to Rashi is permitted because I'm not doing boira. Boira is when you're taking psoilus. Over here, I'm not taking psoilus, I'm taking psoilus and oichel. Whereas according to Ramban, you would be chayiv because you've miyapah the tarovus, the whole wine is cleansed. The third difference, we're not going to have time to discuss. But the second difference, the question is, you're taking out, we said, a fly which is floating on top of a glass of wine. According to Rashi, it's permitted because I never took out the psoilus, I took out psoilus with oichel. Whereas according to Ramban, it's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Because I was miyapah the whole tarovus. So how do we understand a furish halacha, which is brought down, it's brought down halacha, you'll have to take out a fly from a glass of wine, the Taz brings it down, will you take out some wine with it? How does the Ramban understand it? Why can you do that? The answer is, the Chazanish explains, because remember, one of the key conditions for boira was the environment had to be a situation of tarovus, a mixture, had to be a state of confusion. A fly with a glass of wine, says Ramban, is not... They're not intermixed. There's no state of confusion. The fly is floating on top. You know, what's the fly, waiter, what's the fly doing on top of my cup of wine? What's the fly doing on my bowl of soup? It's doing backstroke, right? So over here, it's not mixed with a glass of wine, says the Chaznish. The fly is floating on top, it's nicker. There's no tarovus. You could take out the fly by itself, it's not mixed. So then the question arises, why would you not be able to take the fly, hold it by its wing and take it out? Why do you need to take out some wine? Says Ramban, because there is some little mixture. The fly is mixed with the wine around it. You know, the wine between its wings, amongst its follicles. That part of wine is a tarovus, not the whole glass of wine. So you've taken a spoon, you're spooning out the fly with some wine around it. So you've taken out the whole mixture. You've taken out the whole mixture. And if you've got a cup of stone and wheat, there's no problem to take the cup, the bowl and move it around wherever you want. You're moving the whole mixture, you didn't separate it. The mixture of the fly is only with the wine immediately around it. So if you take out the whole spoon of fly and wine, says the Chaznish mutter. But according to Chaznish, it's only going to be mutter in this case where the fly is not mixed with the whole wine, where the fly is clearly distinct. But for example, if you've got your sediment in your soup, there'll be no heter take out some soup with sediment. According to Chaznish, according to Ramban, there's no heter to take out some soup with sediment because it's only mutter when that was the whole mixture. So you got the final example we gave, and then with this we're going to end, is you have two people who took out the sediment with some soup, according to Chaznish, it's forbidden. Because you cleanse the tarovus There's no matter of taking out some oichel lipsilas, whereas according to the Mishnah Berurah, the way Mishnah Berurah paskins, it's going to be mutter because there's a heter, like he also like Rashi, there's a heter taking oichel together with the lipsilas. Just to finish off with a time over. Finish off how to connect this once again to the Pasha. So we have three examples. We saw how you can have the same act, like we saw by eating and by kibud avim, and then tension can make the whole difference between the two of them. Take 2 minutes or not? Okay, so I actually saw, we just arrived actually from the United States. Yesterday lunchtime we got off the plane, and so I was hesitating, good morning, my kids were up quite during the night. So I saw over there was a U.S. Army manual. It came across my hands. Actually, it was top secret, confidential. It said over there, if it comes into anyone's, make sure to destroy it, lest it reaches improper hands. The material was classified, but not military-wise. It was full of wisdom. It was a survival manual for soldier who was lost. And it said over there in the introduction, full of fascinating psychological material, how to deal with fears, how to deal with pain, trauma, isolation, survival. It said over there the following introduction. The two gravest dangers that face a soldier when he's lost, when he's in isolation. What are the two gravest dangers? A, the need for comfort. B, a passive outlook. Okay? These two compromise a person's wisdom and makes them deal with the current situation rather than with the general picture. In fact, this is the Mesis Tesharim's famous two examples. Yisoyda Chasidus Tesharim Shabbeta Tumimah. The most important thing she is para. A person should be clear. There's no passive outlook. You have to be clear what your intentions in life. And the second thing is, they describe that the way they combat this need for comfort, the person's need for comfort, they say, look at the general greater picture. Your passive outlook. That means they're not interested in saving themselves. Look at the greater picture. The greater picture is your current discomfort compared to your discomfort when you're captured, which could be endless and far greater. I think Kedushin Tiyu combats both of these negative attitudes. Kedushin Tiyu tells you, Kedushin Tiyu, aspire for growth, aspire to become bigger, aspire for maturity, have your goal in mind. And at the same time, Kedushin Tiyu tells you, have a prushim in arayas. The need for comfort is not a must. It's not a need. One can survive without it. In fact, we said all comforts are permitted if they're going to enhance a person's avayas Hashem, if they're going to help a person have gratitude to Hashem and come closer to Hashem. Let us be zoika, Kedushin Tiyu, we should be able to come closer to Hashem, ki kodesh ani Hashem lekeichem, and through Kaddish Shem Shemayim.